Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Come and connect with us. We're going to start that new class first Wednesday night in April. You need to be here, and you can choose to go to either one. We're not going to tell you where to go, okay? You can go to either one of those classes. If you understand me, say, I do. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. If you ain't there yet, we can't wait. It's time to go. It says this, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout. If we could find some churches that decided when Jesus showed up, they were going to shout, I can guarantee you, we would change this world. Come on, somebody. He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. Again, if we could find some people that wouldn't let the world tell them what to say and what to do. We're going to get there. Come on, y'all with me? He shouted all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called a blind man, cheer up. They called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on. He's calling you. He's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. I just realized what that said, that he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. When Jesus calls, are we coming? When Jesus calls, whether it's convenient or not, are we coming? Are we using our infirmities or are we using our problems as an excuse to sit where we are and say, no, this is what I've always done. This is what I'll always do. I'm going to move on before I start preaching a different message. And this is funny. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Don't miss that line. And he followed Jesus down the road. Let's pray. Father God, today, let my words be few, your words be powerful. And speak to us today about how much we need Jesus. We need you today, God. We cannot survive without Jesus. We cannot carry on without Jesus. We don't need anything else this world has for us. All we need is Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you just a little bit of background. Is that okay with you? A little bit of background on this scripture? The background gives us a little context of this passage. It's such a significant account of Jesus, of a healing by Jesus. It is the final. Do you realize this is the final miracle that Jesus performs in Mark before he goes into Jerusalem to be crucified? And this is not in my notes, but I also find it very interesting that the very last city that Jesus entered into and left out of was the very first city of the Israelites when they took into into the promised land. Come on. The very last city that Jesus went through was the very first one that God gave the people as a promise. There's something significant about that. I'm not going to get into it today, but there's something significant about that. And we're going to visit that some other time. But the final miracle that is mentioned in Mark before Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time, passing through Jericho and healing as he goes, it was 15 mountainous mile journey that went from way up down the hill, downhill almost the entire way. On the way to Jerusalem, to celebrate Passover, he was on the way on this road along with a bunch of other people. It was close to Passover time. So they were traveling down the road, and they were traveling with a bunch of other people that did not plan on walking with Jesus, the Son of God. But they happened to just be there. They didn't know that who he was going. They didn't know that they were walking beside the man of God and this Son of God. But everyone else was traveling the same road for the same purpose, to go and celebrate Passover together. That was the whole purpose of going to Jerusalem, was to celebrate Passover together. Couple that with the fact that Jesus had become a superstar over the past 3 years, because his name had been heard all throughout the towns, all throughout the cities, all throughout the desert, the wilderness. People knew him because he had done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle over the past 3 years. Couple the fact that he was already traveling with a crowd, and then the fact that they found out who he was and where he was going. He was surrounded by so many people. This explains the large crowd that was traveling with him. It says that he was there and the crowd followed him. But at the same time Jesus was traveling this road, there was somebody else on the road. Somebody that was probably minimalized and pushed aside. Somebody that had probably been there day in and day out, probably most of their adult life. Somebody that had gone through the same routine every single day. Bartimaeus woke up that morning, like every other morning, and went about his preparations. He got up and he started getting dressed and he started putting his things together and he got his cloak together so that he could carry it with him. And he probably had his staff where he could touch and make sure he's not going to hit the curb or wherever he was going. In Mark 10:46, it says a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. There's an interesting fact about his name. I know I'm usually throwing a bunch of jokes out there and all that kind of stuff. I'm not there yet. But I want you to hear this. There's something interesting about his name. Names were everything to people in biblical times. It told more than it was more than just something that people could yell at you so that they get your attention. It was more than just Johnny. Because when you want little Johnny to come home from playing out in the street or playing out with his friends, what do you do? Or what did you used to do? You go out, now you just text them. But used to, you would walk outside, Johnny! Johnny, come home! And you start yelling for him. And if you need anything like me, you would walk outside, get ready to call a name, and realize that you're calling the wrong names. I walk outside, and I'm trying to call my kids home, and I'm going, Frank, Dottie, Big Head, come home! And I just start hollering at any of them. But it was more than that. His name meant more than that. His name was Bartimaeus. That was Aramaic. That was his Aramaic name. And even Mark explains it for the people. That was actually meant, Bar meant son of, and then Timaeus meant Timaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. That is exactly what that meant. But more than that, Timaeo, the root word of Timaeus, meant honor. So his real name was Son of Honor. That name tells us something about what his parents had for him in the future. The dreams that they had for him, because when they named him Son of Honor. We want him to be honored. We want him to be lifted up. But the thing is, something along the way got off track. And he ended up going blind. But today was just another day to him to begin with. It was just another day of begging ahead of him. Another day of sitting there with his hand out, waiting for people to pass by. Just another day. He had to go and stake his claim early, though, on his place on the road. Any of y'all like that? You make sure you want to get a good parking spot so you get there early? I'm like that a lot of times. I want a good park. I don't want to walk 2 miles in order to get someplace, so I get there early so that I don't have to walk forever. I want the good spot. That's the reason why I don't like being late for church. I want the good spots. I want to be up on the front rows. Some of y'all in the back row, never mind. But listen, I'm just joking with you. But I want the good spots. When we go to youth camp, what do? We stand by the door and wait for them to open that door, and we run in and we get the closest seat possible. Why? Because we want to be close to the action. So like in the movie theater, we get there early so that we can get the best seats. But that's what Bartimaeus had to do. He had to stake his claim early along that steep road leading to Jerusalem because every seat was a prime real estate. In other words, Bartimaeus had to position himself to receive something. Let that sink in. Bartimaeus had to position himself in the right place at the right time so that he could receive what he needed. He wasn't thinking about Jesus at this time. He was just thinking about the alms and the giving that they were giving. He had to position himself in the right place. Pilgrims and priests would be passing by all day in those days. And near Passover, there was a much more, they were much more apt to give. Why? Because their giving was linked to their holiness. So the more they gave, the more holy they were, and the closer to a holy day they were, the more they wanted to show God, hey, I love you. More, and they thought giving was equal with holiness. So he had to position himself too early on the road, and people would pass him by knowing that they had a long line of people to choose from to give later on, and they didn't want to run out. Too late in the line, and he might run the risk of people running out of money before they ever get to him. So he had to find that sweet spot. He had to find that sweet spot on the street to make sure that they saw him and that he could get what he needed. How did he position himself that particular day? The same way he did every other day. By repetition and by being consistently in the same place. Come on. That's one of my favorite words. Consistent. Being consistent is what put him in a place to receive. The same way he did every day. He did it by making sure that everything was done and by being consistent. Every morning was the same with him, whether it was a big day or a regular day. It didn't matter to him. I'm sure there was a few things that would change. I'm sure he would change his clothes every now and then. I'm sure that every now and then he'd eat something different for breakfast. He'd go to McDonald's instead of Burger King or something like that. He would go wherever, and he would eat something different. He would dress a little different. I'm sure that somebody different might lead him to the place that he needed to go at times, just the people that were available. But he was consistently up at the same time. He was consistently doing the same thing over and over and over. It's not sexy. It's not fun. It's not exciting. But it's something that is necessary when you want to put yourself in a position to receive. Come on, are you with me? He never deviated. He never changed. He knew the routine, and he took it in order to position himself to receive something. I want to ask you a question. Are you positioned to receive from God today? Now, that might be a dumb question. Some of y'all might be looking at me going, well, that's dumb, Pastor Aaron. I'm sitting in church. I'm here. You won't give me something? Give me something. Well, listen, that's good and all. But let me ask you this. Are you going to be positioned to receive something from God tomorrow? Because location in the spirit realm does not mean that you're ready to receive. Just because you sit in a pew doesn't mean that you're ready to receive from God. Where is your heart? Where is your life at? Where is your spirit at? Are you teachable? Every day, we make sure that we're in a position to receive something. Every day, everybody in this room, you make sure you're in a position to receive something. We make sure that we're in a position to receive a paycheck. How? By going to our job. If you want a paycheck, you got to show up at your job. They ain't going to come to your house, knock on your door, say, here you go, and then walk away and not expect you to show up. Those of you that go to school, you position yourself to receive knowledge by making sure you're at school. And you position yourself to make sure you don't receive a whooping by getting up and getting there on time. If you understand me, say, I do. Come on, parents. You did. We position ourselves for rest at certain times. Yet how many of us actually prepare to receive what we need from God on a daily basis? Where do we prepare our hearts for where we're going to be? Do we spend time in His Word on a daily basis? Do we spend time in prayer on a daily basis? Do we make sure that we make room and margins for God to move in time so that we don't run late? We are supposed to be in a position to receive from God every day. Or as my old pastor used to say, every day. Every day. I like that. I'm going to start using that one instead. Every day. You're supposed to be ready every day. God is not found just in a midweek or a weekend service. God is not found just in a youth convention or in a youth camp. Jesus is not just passing by during a camp meeting or during a revival that lasts about 3 or 4 days. That is not the only time God shows up. You know when God shows up? When your feet hit the floor in the morning, God is standing right next to you going, I've got a job for you today. Are you in a position ready to receive? I've got a blessing for you today. Are you in a position to receive what I've got for you? For you. Every day. Somebody say every day. Listen. Are you with me so far? How do we put ourselves in a position daily? By doing the menial and the small. Doing the little things. Doing those little things. By determining within ourselves today, I will spend time with God today. Today, I will position my heart in God's presence. We do it by living according to Luke 9:23, where it says, take up your cross daily. Daily. It doesn't say on Sundays when it's convenient and you don't have anything else going on. It doesn't say Wednesdays when you get home in time and you're not too hungry so you can grab a snack and you just go to church. It says daily. It says daily to spend time in the presence of God. Colossians 2:6 says this, therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How do I get from this side to that side? Now, I can stand here, and I can try to jump. I'm not going to do it because, number one, my knees will give out. But I could try to jump as far as I can in one jump, and I'll get a little bit of space on it. And then I can try to jump again. But by the time I reach my destination, a couple of things are going to happen. Number one, I'm going to be a whole lot more tired. Number two, I might hurt myself. So how do I get from here to there safely and in the right way? One step at a time. It might be a little slower at times. There may be times where I take a larger step. Church, listen to me. There are times where you're going to take a huge step in the service of God when we're down here at these altars and it's like God hits light speed on you and you see the lights flashing by your head and you go further than you've ever gone before. But then, what are you going to do tomorrow when you get up in the morning? You're going to take one step and another step and another step. You're going to read the Word. You're going to open that Bible on a daily basis. You're going to spend time talking with God. You're going to spend time showing up and being a part of small groups and learning about His presence. How many blessings and encounters with God have we missed? Have we missed out on because our hearts are not in the position to meet with Him? Look through the Scriptures. If you look through the Scriptures, most of the encounters with Jesus did not happen in a church. Think about it. Did he go to the synagogue? Yes. Did he go to the temple? Yes. But most of the encounters he had where he healed and where he touched people's lives was outside of the church, outside of the synagogue, when he was in the streets, when he was sitting at the table with people and doing life together. God wants to do life with you. If you're with me, say I am. Do not limit God to a Sunday morning encounter. He wants to be involved in every minute of every day. Bartimaeus encountered Jesus because he was consistent. Being consistent in the little things is what positions us to receive what we need from Jesus. Are you with me? Somebody say, I need Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need Jesus. Now turn to the person on the other side and say, I know you need Jesus. We need Jesus, church. Bartimaeus encountered Jesus because he was consistent, but Bartimaeus was also, see, he was consistent and put himself in a position, but he was also, he was desperate enough to ignore the crowd. Let's go back to the story of Bart. Bartimaeus, imagine him sitting on the side of the road. The noises that he hears, he smells the food that people are walking by with, knowing that he hasn't been able to eat in a few days, and he's waiting on the alms to come in so that he can go get some food. He's sitting there and saying, alms for the poor, and he's calling out, and he's hearing these people go by, and he's hearing the crowd get louder and louder and louder, and he notices that something different is happening today. Why today is everything different? He said, I know Passover is coming, but why is it so loud? Why are there so many people on the road today? What is going on? And then all of a sudden, the Bible says that he heard it was Jesus Christ that was passing by. And he recognized the name. Jesus, that's that guy. I've heard about him. I've been hearing stories about him for the past 3 years. I've been hearing stories about how he was healing people and he was touching people's lives. I can imagine the things that went through his head and through his mind. In verse 47, it tells us he heard Jesus was passing by, and then someone he had heard about for so many years, and then all of a sudden, everything changed. He was no longer screaming, alms! Alms for the poor. His focus changed. When Jesus passes by, where's your focus? Is it on the crowd to see what you can get from them, or are you finding the one that you need the most? Come on. He was no longer worried about those coins laying on his coat, because they would take their coats and their stuff, and they would lay them in front of them many times. And that way, when people threw down change or threw down coins, they would be able to pick up the corners of the coat, and they would be able to pick it up like a little sack. He was no longer concerned about those things, because later on it says that he tossed it aside. He was no longer concerned about the money. He didn't care about the other people passing by. He heard that it was Jesus, and he said one phrase out of his mouth, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And apparently he had a loud mouth, sort of like your pastor. Apparently he had a loud mouth, because all of a sudden everybody started telling him, shut up, be quiet. Y'all ever been next to somebody that you just want to look at and say, shut up, you're so loud? I know some of y'all probably look at me at times when I'm yelling up here going, be quiet, man, you ain't got to yell. That's okay. I ain't got to be quiet either. But the thing is, he started yelling out, and they started yelling out, shut up, be quiet, be quiet. They tried to shut him up, but old Barty, he was not going to be denied. He was not going to be denied. He said, you know what? I don't care what you say. I'm not worried about you. I'm not focused on you. I'm focused on who I need. I don't need you. I need the Savior. I don't need you. I need the healer. I need the master. I need the one that I've heard about for 3 years. Some of us need to quiet the crowd and stop listening to them tell us, hey, you don't need that. You need this supplement in your life. That way you'll be healthy. You need this area of your life taken over by this thing right here. You need to watch this show. You need to pay attention to this politician. You need to pay attention to this situation. You need this drug. You need this bottle. You need this situation. And we need to silence them and say, I don't need any of that. I need Jesus. He was not going to be denied, and he cried out all the more. One of the most interesting things, Lord Jesus, help me. I've got so much I want to give you today. But one of the most interesting things I find is that the blind man in the crowd was the only one that had enough vision to see who Jesus was. Everybody else saw him as a man that did miracles. But the very phrase where he said, Jesus, Son of David. That phrase right there meant Messiah, Savior. It was reserved for the Messiah. And he was the only one that recognized Jesus for who he was. He didn't need to see him with his eyes. He had heard that deaf ears were open and blind eyes were open. And he had heard that the lame would walk. The blind were seeing. He was seeing that people with leprosy was, or he was hearing that leprosy was disappearing from people's bodies. And he said, surely this has to be the Son of God. And he started crying out. No one had to tell him who this man was. He recognized it without ever having to see him. There was no question who Jesus was to him. And he sat on the road and he said, I need him. Some of us are sitting in here today and we need to start shouting, I need him. I've been blinded for so long. I've been blinded by my ambition, by my anxiety, by my depression. I've been blinded by my racism. I've been blinded by my arrogance. I need Jesus. We need to start shouting again that we need him. And no one was going to stop him from receiving what he needed. Let me ask you something. Are you desperate enough for an encounter with God to silence the crowd around you? Are you desperate enough to ignore them and press on? The world tells us we don't need God. They parade celebrities and politicians in front of us and say, here's what you need. You need to vote for this person. You need to have this in your life. You need to have that in your life. The world puts self-help gurus and spiritualists on a pedestal and says these are the ones you need to listen to. You need to listen to Elon Musk. You need to listen to all these guys that can tell you how to be successful. They will even tell you to look within yourself and follow your heart and take care of old number one. Take care of yourself first. Follow your heart. Can I tell you, that is the worst advice that you could ever follow. Yeah. Don't follow your heart. You know why? Because the Bible says that the heart of man is the most deceitful thing and will lead us astray. Don't follow your heart, because your heart is going to lead you into something stupid. The heart is crazy. But when we transfer his heart to ours, when we accept him to guide us and direct us, everything changes. Are you with me? Are we desperate enough to say, be quiet, world, I need Jesus? When we get desperate enough for a move of God is when we're going to tell the world to shut up. Is we're going to tell them, I don't care how long the pastor preaches, I'm staying. I don't care if he steps on my toes, I need it. I don't care that it doesn't make sense for me to give money away to the church when I know I'm struggling in this area. I'm following God. We need to look at people and tell them, listen, you tell me one thing, God's word says another. I will always take God's word over man's word. We need to tell the world to shut up at times. Just like Bartimaeus, Jesus hears us and responds. Mark 10:49, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. Somebody needs to hear this today. God has not turned a deaf ear to you. He has not left you lacking or left you in the dark. He does not pass by those who are in desperate need of him. I had that specifically written out because I wanted to say it the way that God told me to say it. In the world's eyes, it was too late for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were already in the fire. They were done. In the world's eyes, it was too late for Lazarus. He was inside of a tomb. In the world's eyes, it was too late for Jairus' daughter because she had already passed. And she was so sick, she passed before Jesus ever got to the place. In the world's eyes, it was too late for that woman who bled for 12 years, who was crawling through the streets. But God said, it's not too late. It's not too late to touch them. It's not too late. And you know what? What if Mary and Martha had said, it's done, Jesus. We're not going to open the tomb. Or Jairus' father had said, no, we're not going to. Or Jairus had said, you know what? She's already dead. Don't worry about coming. What if they had listened to the crowd? They would have missed out on something. Listen to me. If you are listening to the crowd, you're listening to the wrong voices. Bartimaeus was desperate enough for his encounter to silence the crowd. But Bartimaeus was also broken enough to answer the question. He was broken enough to answer the question. Finally, he had his moment. I'm getting close to the end. Y'all just hang with me. He gets to his moment where they pull him up and he's up in front of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he's getting ready for his healing. He's like, surely he's going to heal me. Surely he's going to do something great. And then Jesus asked one of the strangest questions that are in the Bible. All of a sudden, Jesus goes, what do you want me to do? I'm so glad I wasn't in that crowd because I have a sarcastic nature. If I had been standing next to Bartimaeus when he got up there and Jesus said, what do you want me to do? I would have been like that kid on YouTube, you know, that takes people's like stuff and he just goes. I'd have been like, well, Jesus, he got a sore on his foot. I would have been like joking around or something. But he wanted to hear it from his own mouth. He wanted to see if he was broken enough and if he was brave enough and if he was strong enough to say exactly what he needed. Some of us are missing out on what God wants to do in our life because we're afraid to actually vocalize what we want in our lives. Let me rephrase. Not what we want in our lives, but what we need. We have no problem telling God what we want. God, I want a new truck. I want a new job. I want a new boat. I want a new house. I want a new wife. No, you better not be saying that. But I want this. I want that. But we don't say what we really need. God, I need you to get on my case about my life. Jesus wanted Bartimaeus to vocalize his need. There was something about saying it out loud saying out loud what we need that is so humbling. It's like admitting there's a problem. You know, they in recovery programs, the first thing they have to do is they have to admit there's a problem. If they never admit there's a problem, then there can't be a solution. The reason God hasn't met some of our needs is because we haven't received our deliverance or our provision or our peace is because we haven't been broken enough to answer the question, what do you want me to do? We're afraid to answer the question because it reveals the darkest and dirtiest parts of who we are. Saying it out loud makes it real. God, I need deliverance from drugs. I know I haven't taken any in a while, but I need you to intervene. God, I need you to get this racism out of my heart because I have things that I've been programmed in from the time that I was young that are still holding on and I can't let go of it. God, that exposes who we really are. When we're afraid to say our needs, we're afraid to show our dirty laundry. I got news for you. God already knows it. He knows what's inside of us. But we've got to admit that there's a problem first. God, I need you to expose the addiction that I've got in my life. God, I need you to expose me for being a gossip. I need you to expose me for being self-centered and narcissistic and selfish. Are you willing to say what you really need? It got real quiet up in here. Y'all, I still got a job after this, right, Brother Steve? We'll see. Listen. I don't want people to know my deepest, darkest secrets. Can I let you in on a little secret? You ain't fooling no one. Most of the time, people realize what's going on before you do because we're blind to our own problems. But you're not fooling God either. Jeremiah 20:12 says, O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and mind. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees, but man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." God would ask you today, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That's his question for you. Stand with me today. What do you want me to do? Today, I know you're in the right place because you're in a place that loves you. You're in a place that cares about every single one of you. You're in a place where people are looking around you and they're going, listen, I love them, I love them, I love them, I love them. You're in a right place because you've put yourself in God's presence. You've walked into a room where God is saying, I want to do something for you. What do you want me to do? You're here in God's presence and you've been hearing the word of God. Where your heart is a different story. Have you allowed the word of God access to your heart today? Have you put yourself in a position to receive from him? Are you silencing the voices that are in your head right now that are saying, this ain't for me, this is for somebody else in the room? Are you silencing that voice that'll sit there and tell you, just be quiet and wait it out. You'll be done in a minute. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything in your life. You're okay. You're not blind. Are you silencing those voices? Are you broken enough to admit that you have a need for God? As dirty and as ugly as your need is, are you willing to expose it to the light of Jesus Christ? And the last thing I want us to realize is what happened after Jesus healed Bartimaeus. I told you there was a phrase I want you to pay close attention to. And it's in that last verse, verses 51 and 52 says, "What do you want me to do?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, but I want you to notice what happened next. It says in the very next sentence what happened after Jesus met his need. It says, and he followed Jesus down the road. His journey did not end with his healing. It only began. Can I share this with you? Your journey does not begin with God meeting your need. It begins with you following him. Can I be honest with you? Bartimaeus didn't need his sight. He just needed Jesus. You don't need a lot of what we ask for. We don't need a lot of what we ask for. The one thing we do need is Jesus. Somebody say, I need Jesus. Can we just lift our hands together today and just say, God, I need you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.